And turn with me, we're going to have a little look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Have you heard of imposter syndrome? Anybody heard of imposter syndrome? No. I'll tell you what it is, because you may have experienced it yourself, where you're in a situation, maybe it's at work or some other situation, and you kind of think, I really don't ought to be here. I'm going to be found out at some point. You've been asked to do something and you don't feel able to do it. You feel inadequate. You feel inferior. You just feel as if you're kind of punching above what naturally you should be doing. And you just think, one day they're going to find out I can't actually do this. I think lots of people experience that at some point in some way in their lives. Other people kind of ask you to do things because they think you can do them. Well, actually, you can do them, but in yourself, you don't think you can. And you kind of question yourself and wonder and all of those kind of things. Many people do. I certainly have at many times. And verses that have been so helpful to me, and I want to share them with us tonight as we continue to move into this year for our encouragement. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses found towards the end of that chapter. And if you've been around church for any length of time, you will have heard these mentioned. I've mentioned them here. Let's just pick it up, if we can, from verse 22. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, which is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were before you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Verses 26, 27, and 28. Brothers, think of what you were before you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not. I wonder how many of us would say, wow, that kind of puts me into that kind of category. I certainly find it is for me. These verses have been a constant encouragement to me in my ministry in the different churches where I've served, that God could use an ordinary country boy, the son of a farm labourer, who didn't exactly excel at school, is to me a wonder. It's a wonder to me that God could ever use somebody who, you know, I've got small feet but managed to open my mouth and put my foot in it too many times. That God would choose to use someone who struggles with wisdom and understanding and struggles to learn, who's a pretty slow reader. It's a marvel to me, and I give glory to God that ever in 30 years of ministry he's used me to bless people and to help people and to glorify his name. And I have often felt like an imposter, thinking I really shouldn't be doing this. And yet God in his mercy has enabled me to do that. And I want to give him the glory. I want to give him strength like that. And I want to give him praise for that. And I dare say that many of you feel the same. How could God use somebody like me? Could God use somebody like me in his service? Well, God has chosen us and we're the best he's got here. because there ain't any other Witten Baptist Church. And it's us, we're the people that God is going to use, however we may feel. God chose. And I'm not saying this, you know, you understand where I'm coming from. God chose the foolish things. Anybody foolish here? God chose the weak things. I think many of us would say, you know, we struggle to get wisdom to know what to do. The weak things, we feel weak and we don't feel very strong. We feel pretty uninfluential. The lowly things, you know, the things and the people that other people don't really take much notice of. Not many of us are makers and shakers, are we, in the world? Not many of us have got positions of authority where we're kind of leading other people. Not many of us are leaders in our field of work. And God says, He chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. If we're waiting for clever people, if we're waiting for God to raise up some people who we think, oh man, they're great, they're the ones. We need somebody like that. We're going to be waiting a long time. God uses people like you and I. And that's why, Steve, I want you to say what you said tonight. And that's why I think it's just so appropriate, because it fits in with this. Brother, God using you, thank you. Thank you for being obedient to Him. Thanks for having the courage to say that. And I know what you think about yourself, and I know your history. We know your history. But you're a man of God, and God is using you. And we thank God for that. And for each of us, we are the church. There ain't anybody else. And if God is going to work, He will work through us. And you know what? Here's the good news. There is nothing stopping Him working through us apart from ourselves, as we trust Him. As we make ourselves available to Him, as we sort of kind of say to Him, Lord, we're here. There is an unhealthy humility that we can have, and there's a healthy humility. An unhealthy humility is when we let doubt and we let our fear of ourselves, and we think, well, I couldn't possibly do that, and we cower away, and we think that God couldn't use this. That is an unhealthy humility. It's not a healthy thing to be like that. I understand, in one sense, we don't want people to say, here I am, yeah, I'll do that. That's not what it's about. But if we constantly shy away and we all think God can't use me, that's not healthy. What is healthy is when we say, God, I can do nothing, but I'm here, and if you'll use me, then I'm available. I know I'm weak, and I know I'm foolish, and I know not many by nature people aren't going to take much notice of me. I don't know how to string things together, and I'm not a preacher, but Lord, I'm here. That's a healthy humility, and that's the kind of people that God can use. And I think the thought that ran through my mind overall when I was kind of putting this together, something that I read in the book of Job, and it's tucked away in chapter 23, verse 10. It says, He knows the way I take. You know the story of Job. Many of you, I mustn't assume that you know. Job was a very well-established businessman. He was a man of God, but he lost it all. He didn't sin. It wasn't a result of sin. It was a result of Satan wanting to have a go at him. Satan said to God that Job really only honors you. This is Satan talking to God. Job only honors you because you bless him. You take away the good things and he'll start to curse you. It's a sad thing when people turn their backs on God when things don't go right. It happens all too often, doesn't it? So make sure that when things don't go right, never, please, don't run away from God. Run to Him. Don't run away from church. Don't stay away from church. Whatever you do, run to it. This is a place where God's grace and His strength and His power, this is where God will speak. So whatever you do, don't run away. Satan was saying of Job, you take his stuff away, you make his life a mess, he'll run away from you. I wonder if Satan had that comment about us, that conversation with God about any of us, what would with it that would be justified. You see, because God said to Satan, okay, try it. Try it. God knew how strong Job was. And he put his own honor, God's honor, at stake and they laid it on Job. And so Satan was allowed to take away pretty much everything that Job held as precious. His health, his family, his work, his prosperity, his family. It was all taken away. Now, benefit of 20/20 hindsight and scripture, we know why that was happening. But poor old Job in the midst of it had no idea. He didn't know why it was going on. He'd got three pretty unhelpful friends. Well, Job, you must have done something wrong. They assume that every time that you do something wrong, it's God's judgment. A lot of people think that today. A lot of people will come down and say, well, you must have done something wrong. It's bad karma because, you know, you're getting your own back. They insisted that Job must have done something wrong. Job, on the other hand, says, I haven't. And he kind of, in pleading his innocence, and he was right in saying he hadn't done anything wrong, because he hadn't, had he? But he almost overstated his case and started to almost accuse God of really not knowing what he was doing and not understanding and all of those kind of things. Job struggled with it. It's okay to struggle with your faith. It's all right to do that. But what he didn't do was ever deny God and ever walk away from it. He said, I don't understand why he's doing this. But what I do know is that he knows the way I take. He knows the situation I'm in. This is not a surprise to him. And those words, I think, are true, have to be true for us as well. God knows who we are. God knows what you're like. He knows what I'm like. He knows the way we take. He knows our character. And yet, we're the ones that he's called. So often in our prayers, we ask the Lord to make us strong, to make us well, to give us ability. The unspoken thing is that if only God will keep us well, if God will make us, God will make our health, our mental health, our physical health, our emotional health, if God will heal those things, then we'll be able to work for him. Then we'll be able to serve him. If God will just change circumstances, then we'll be able to do what, you know, serve him, and we'll be useful. In other words, we think we've got to be strong for God to use us. But God knows the way we take. He knows what we're like. He knows our situation. And he uses us as we are. God chose the weak things. He didn't choose the strong. He chose the things that the world counts as nothing. He chose the things that the world would think of as foolish. We mustn't make the mistake of thinking we've got to be well, we've got to be strong, that we need to be different before God can use us for his kingdom. God can use us as we are. The Apostle Paul made this mistake, didn't he? He had this thorn in the flesh. We don't actually know what the thorn in the flesh was. Various suggestions. It was obviously something that Paul thought would hinder him. He thought, if I don't have this, if you take this away, Lord, I'll be able to serve you better. And so it's recorded for us. He tells us the story of this. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Was it 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Somebody's going to tell me the proper reference for it. And he pleaded with the Lord three times for this to be taken away from him. But God said, no, I'm not going to take it away. Because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I want to encourage us tonight. No, I'm going to rephrase that. God wants to encourage us tonight that we do not have to be strong and well before God can use us. And I want us to just watch our prayers privately when we're praying, Lord, would you do this and then I can. It's much better to say, there's nothing wrong in praying for health and that. But if we ever get to the point of thinking, I need to have this before God can use me, we're making a mistake, because God uses the weak things. He uses the foolish things. We do not have to have that strength or other things before he can use us. God can use us as we are. So our strength should not so much be that we might be strong, but rather that we might, he would show us our weakness, so that then we will rely on him. I think sometimes we think if we're strong, we need to be strong so that we can do the work. When really what we need to say, Lord, make me weak so that you can do the work. As long as we're relying on ourselves, we're going to be struggling. We're going to be like hamsters on the wheel trying to keep it going and getting nowhere. Whereas if we just stop and realize that we can't do it, but rather God can, and you say, Lord, I'm here. And say the prayer that Samuel had to pray when he heard the voice. Samuel, Samuel. And he went to the old priest Eli and said, you called me? No, I didn't call you. And it happened a couple of times, and in the end, Eli twigged what was happening. It was God that was speaking. He was calling Samuel, and he said, next time you hear it, go back and say, here I am, Lord. Speak. Your servant hears. We need to get to that point of just saying, Lord, we're here. Speak to us, and we will do what you want us to do. We've got to understand that bad circumstances are no bar to God using us. History shows, and if we're honest, our own experiences show us that God works most powerfully in times of weakness. It's often when we're down in the valley that we learn most about God, when we can speak about God, when we're equipped to speak for him. If we were to throw this out wider, we look around the world today and we would pray for the countries where to be a Christian, it's hard and it's difficult. And yet they're the countries where the church is growing. They're the countries where God is at work. North Korea, Iran. I think I heard recently that Iran is the place in the world where there's more people becoming Christians than anywhere else. Ray, am I right in that? That is number one most persecuted country in the world, but there's more people becoming Christians there. And we pray, Lord, make it easy. He works when it's hard. He works in weakness. God's just encouraging us. If we have health, then let's thank him for it, and let's make sure we use that and give ourselves. But weakness is no bar to God using us. And we are the only church that he's got here. Job, in another place in his story, said, though he kill me, I will praise him. Though he kill me, I'll praise him. He can take my life. I am not going to turn my back on God. Let's make sure we don't turn our back on God. Let's make sure we yield ourselves to him and say to him, you can use this. I was going to, I'm not going to develop this anymore, but some of you who know your Bibles, this will encourage you. Just four or five examples where God used things that the world, you would never think of it. Judges chapter 6. Israelites going round Joshua chapter 6. The Israelites going round Jericho, the walls of Jericho. They went round 6 days, once round. Seventh day they went round it several times. They had some ram's horns, ordinary horns of a sheep. And when they blew the horns of the sheep, the walls fell down. You might be a sheep's horn for all I know. God can use you. Guy called Shamgar. Anybody remember Shamgar? Yeah, he killed 600 people. We're not advocating war and killing and all of that kind of thing, but the point was he was God's man to liberate his people. And he used an ox goad. You know what an ox goad is? It's a prodder. It's what they used to prod the oxen with to keep them moving forward. And he used that as a weapon, and God used a man given to him, empowered by the Holy Spirit, with an ox goad to set the people free. Samson floored 1,000 of the enemies with nothing more than a dried jawbone from a dead donkey. Inanimate, weak things that, unless they were picked up, would be useless. But God used those little things. We can feel weak and we can feel useless, but when God picks us up and in the hand of Almighty God, He can do marvelous things with us. Small things in the hands of ordinary people, but empowered by the Holy Spirit, great things were done. And so this message from the Lord this evening is for our encouragement, that when we feel small, when we feel insignificant, and we maybe doubt ourselves and our own ability, the truth is it's not about ourselves. It's not about our ability. It is when we get to that point of realizing that actually we can do nothing, that we are weak. We really are quite, you know, in terms of persuasive powers and influence in the world, you know, we can't do much. But in God's hands we can. Because the one that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, is the one that lives in us. And Paul prayed for the Ephesians. He said, I pray that your eyes might be opened, that you might know the power of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, that lives in you also. Each of you, believers here tonight, you're a child of God, you love Jesus. I'm not asking whether you're strong. I'm not asking whether you're perfect, because I know we're not perfect. I don't know how strong you are, but I know we're not perfect. Got the Holy Spirit in you, and that Holy Spirit is the one that God can use. He is God the Holy Spirit, and He is dynamite power. He is the one that raised Jesus from the dead. So who's to say that He won't take your words to influence other people? What was it you said, Steve? Speak. Say it. Just do it. Because God can take those words. They're His words. Words that have power. May God help us, encourage us. Thank you, Steve, for sharing that tonight. It's great. And may God use that and His word to encourage us as we continue to serve Him, as you serve Him, as you go to live for Him this week. The people that you bump into, the people that you sit next to on the bus, the people that you queue up next to in Aldi's or wherever you're doing your shopping, your work colleagues, your neighbours, your family members. Try and say a word. Bring Jesus into it. Try and say something for Him. Try and live for Him. Speak to them. Encourage them. Invite them to church. Invite them to read the Bible. Tell them your story. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. Tell them how He's helped you. Who knows what God will do through your words for His glory. Let's pray. Father, would you help us this week to really get hold and understand and believe what you've said, that you don't chosen the rich and the mighty and the noble. You've chosen a few of those, but by and large, you've chosen the weak things and the things that the world would consider to be foolish and the things that others might think of as of no consequence, just ordinary, humble people that normally nobody would take any notice of, but you've chosen them. And many of us would say that's kind of us. We don't feel strong, we don't feel able, we don't feel particularly gifted, we don't feel that knowledgeable, but you've called us into your family and you've put your Holy Spirit in us. Lord, would you help us to have the courage this week to speak a word for you and to live for you, and that through us, Lord, that make up this group of your family, this part of your family, that you will get great glory to your name, that you would use us to speak for you, and that our words would have dynamite power in the hearts of those people as they're taken by your Holy Spirit. And we might see more and more people wanting to come and know you, wanting to come to follow you, wanting to get baptized, wanting to yield their lives over fully to you and to acknowledge you and to profess you and to live for you as Lord and their God for your honor and your glory. So we yield ourselves to you. We don't ask for strength. Rather, we ask for weakness, so that your strength will be made perfect in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.